Now, we've been hearing about the Space Association of Australia. And for many years, Ken McCracken was the patron of the Space Association of Australia. And he had a career in space science. He helped build satellites and things. And then he was the director of CSIRO's Office of Space Science and Applications in Canberra. And in 1989, he spoke about what Australia could be like in the year 2015. And so we thought, hey, hang on, it's 2015 now. So let's hear what Ken had to say about Australia in 2015. Ken McCracken, who was the director of CSIRO's Office of Space Science and Applications in Canberra, speaking here in Melbourne in 1989.
So in all of this, to wrap it up, what will Australia's position be? Australia, in 1989, we are, as a nation, not a space nation, but we're a very good user of space in communications and remote sensing of its various forms. We are very competent and we explore quite a bit. Of that knowledge, if we... And 2005, we will either say, wasn't it good that in the 1990s we began to get some modest involvement in the space building of satellites, which made sure that our industry remained able to be involved and therefore that we were able to get the data, and in which case we will be remote sensing and communications experts for many parts of the world. All in 2005, we will say, goodness, we were doing so well in the use of space back in the 1980s, but we let the control of the technology get away from us. And now it's only the countries that supply the technology that goes into space. Those countries such as India and China and Bulgaria, as well as Soviet Union and USA and so on. Those countries are the ones who have the rights to the data. And we Australians have to buy the data from, for example, India. That is the satellite imagery of our own country. And I find it hard to know at this moment which of those two scenarios will pertain. I think in the last 5 years we've made enough progress that the scenario which is that we Australians will be part of the providers of the space technology of the world, modest providers, 1-2-3% of total progress. I think that that's the one for pertain. And that since we are members of the syndicates, since our companies or our nation is involved, so we will have rights to the data, so we will therefore exploit the data and get add value to the data and sell the data. But the jury is a little out here. And the next few years, now talking 1989, will tell us whether in 2015 we are still very well respected and competent users of space, or whether we simply buy the services in the final form, like finished motor cars, shipped in on a ship, and with no employment for Australia other than the selling process. I certainly hope that it is the former, they are involved, because that also gives our scientists and our technologists some jobs to do. If the decisions take us the other route, well, Australian science in many areas will not have the opportunity to use its skills. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's my scenario for 2015.
Well, you can compare what happened with what he said there. 1997, Ken McCracken spoke on Radio National, and he was looking towards France as setting an example that Australia could follow.
First of all, political will. The French targeted way back in 1961 that they would have major expertise in the technological aspects of space. This was at a time they had very little of the competence. From their friends in business, they have built their expertise up. They have kept lifting their target. They have had a political will the whole time to achieve. Secondly, we learn how industry and academia and government can work together. The government sets, shall we say, the direction. It, through its space agency, CNES, has established the program which industry and academia work to. When the French come here, they come as a, shall we call it, a France Proprietary Limited exercise. The French government, along with industry, along with academia. Thirdly, today we have seen the French giving us an example of their SPOT data. The SPOT is a remote sensing satellite, and it's an absolute tour de force. They have built a satellite which is producing imagery which is quite superior to anything we've ever had before. And it was their first remote sensing satellite that they've ever built. It shows that you can aspire to do very high performance tasks and to achieve them. Virtually any new technology must be developed with strong government intervention. And this is happening in all the new technologies around the world. And we have seen that very much in evidence today. We, of course, don't come from exactly that ethos, but we must recognise that anything we do must compete with the product of that ethos. Last year, the government established a policy for the space industry. Let me stress, it was the industry. So we now have a space policy, we have an Australian Space Board, and the task of both of these instruments is to develop an industry in Australia which can participate in the international space industry. We needed it badly, and the best example of that is that when we came to build OSAT 1, very little of that was built in Australia. There were government policies called offset policies which essentially said 30% of the expenditure should be spent in Australia. And the company that got the contract very, very carefully and with great diligence sought companies that could build part of OSAT 1 in Australia. The facts of the matter, they were not here. Why weren't they here? Because we had never had a government policy to stimulate that industry. My point is that policy now exists. Our industry is being stimulated by virtue of contracts which are being let to it to develop parts of satellites, to develop ground reception systems. We are now training our industry so that for OSAT 2, there will be much greater involvement.
Unfortunately, that momentum was not kept up, and for the recently launched SkyMaster satellite for NBN Co., well, it was built by Space Systems Laurel in the United States. This is The Space Show.
Hey, we're Axe Girl!
Woo! And you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.